Today we'll be reading a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It's there in your worship guide, or turn to it in your Bible. It's the season of Christmas, and we remember the announcement of the good news. God sent a Savior. It's a mysterious thing. God from far came near, and we call it the Incarnation. He took on a body like ours, except without sin. He came so that he could die for our sin. So we read the record of that announcement today in the New Testament book of Luke. It is especially important for us to hear the announcement, for it is good news. It's good news for us to hear as we prepare to celebrate with family and friends this week at Christmas. So let's read this announcement. The angels that came to the shepherds long ago. Reading verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the Word of God.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this Word. We know it's from you, and it's written for us today, just as it was to those in the first century. We ask that you would use it in our hearts today. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear these words and sink them deeply into our hearts, we ask. We know that without your work to make us listen well, we have no hope. These words will just glance off us and mean nothing when they are so rich they could feed our souls. So, Holy Spirit, please feed our souls today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, later this week, I know many of you are going to be entering into Christmas holiday events with your family, going to family gatherings, even in COVID. We'll probably gather in some way with our loved ones. And it can be difficult to gather with unbelieving family members many times. You may have talk to other family members about Jesus Christ, and it's been difficult. There's a family history there. Maybe in your family, as you go about these relationships, you know that there's something hanging over you. There's an elephant in the room, maybe. Maybe the person you've talked to has gotten angry because they think you are convicting them or condemning them. Others may be antagonistic to Jesus Christ. You may feel like you've been thrown into a den of lions when you go to a Christmas event as a Christian. The same may be true whether you talk to your friends about Jesus at school or coworkers at work. Many people don't like this good news that we read about that was announced today in the Gospel of Luke. Sometimes they express it politely, sometimes not so politely. We shouldn't be surprised at that. Actually, Jesus said it's going to be normal, right, for Christians. Any Christian in this world, Jesus said to his apostles, is going to be like a sheep among wolves. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10? He said this to them, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." Now think of that analogy. That's a pretty dangerous situation, right? It means you're a sheep and you're walking into a group of wolves. What do wolves do to sheep? Tear them apart. But that's what Jesus says is going on when we go into our Christmas dinner table as Christians, or our office or our school or a coffee shop. We're like sheep among wolves. But that's what you'll discover when you go into the world. And if you're like me, most often you probably just stop trying by now, right? After doing that a few times, you walk into a lion's den, you get attacked, and probably come to this one of two conclusions. Either one, you don't think it's working. Or secondly, You don't think it's worth it because you're going to get hit again. And face it, nobody likes to get hit, right? Not physically, but maybe emotionally hit. Nobody goes into a fight to get hit. You risk your reputation, you risk your relationships, you may get hit, and it hurts. And that's true for every Christian in the world. And what I've seen, and you've probably seen this as well with Christians, right? Even the best evangelists in the world, many times we think that evangelists are just a special or unique people that have something that we don't have. And I've come to see something different. What I've seen is those who are the most strong Christians and evangelists is they're just willing to get hit. They're willing to walk into situations where they know they're going to get hit, and they understand that. Because talking to non-Christians about Jesus Christ is going to be painful. I'm convinced that's why we don't do it. Who likes pain? Nobody wants to get hit, as I said. Our Christmas text this morning, though, gives us some help. What makes you willing to walk into a situation and talk about the Lord Jesus and the good news, even when you're going to get hit? What will give you the desire to do that, even when you know you're going to get hit? Well, it comes from truly believing this is really good news, and believing it's good news for you, and it's good news for others. So those are two things I want you to notice about the text here, and it tells us clearly, it's good news for us, and it's good news for others. First of all, notice that this news of Jesus Christ and his birth is good news, and it's good news for you and for me. Notice that's what this is an announcement here. Remember, David said when he read this, it's an announcement from the angels. It's actually an announcement from God through the angels to these shepherds that are out in a field watching over their flocks. We read that in verses 8 and 9. Look at closely again. What happens? In that region, there were shepherds out in the field. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And what was the message that these angels gave to the angel gave to these shepherds? We were told in verse 10. Listen closely. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Notice it's good news. There are some times when God brings bad news, we read in the Bible. But this is a time when he gives good news. He sends good news to them. God gave bad news many times to the prophets, through the prophets. But he gives good news here through the angel. And what is the good news? Look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Notice the good news is a Savior has been born. What's a Savior? A Savior is a rescuer, right? Someone who comes and rescues you out of a helpless situation. You're in distress, you're about to die, and the rescuer comes and saves you. And what kind of rescue is this that this Savior is going to do? This is the rescuer who saves us from our sins. This is the rescuer who would make up for all your failures. This is a rescuer who takes away your shame. This is a rescuer who overpowers the demons and compulsions that control you. This is the rescuer who is able to do everything that you and I cannot do. There are things that we can't erase, right? There are things that we've done we're ashamed of. We can't erase, we can't undo it. The damage has been done. There's no way to get rid of it. We're not good enough. And God comes and says, "Good news. I've sent you a Savior. He's going to take away your sins, rescue you, lift up the weak, give success to failures. He succeeds for you. His success by his perfect life is given to your account, and I credit it to you, all that he's done for you." And notice, this is a thing to notice in verse 11. Notice closely the way it's stated by the angel. Did you notice that? He says to these shepherds, "Unto you a Savior is born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Notice the word "you." It was for them. It was a Savior for them. It wouldn't give these shepherds great joy to know that a Savior had been born if it wasn't for them. Think about it. If they weren't included, they wouldn't have great joy over a shepherd or over a Savior who wouldn't save or couldn't save them. But it's when a Savior has been sent for you that you have great joy. You know, I've noticed some of the most distressed, depressed people in the world are people who believe Jesus is a Savior and they believe that he came for sinners, but for some reason they don't believe that Jesus came to save them. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like that. I have. I've met people like that. One in particular I think of who's just a very distressed person. And it stems from this whole concept of this young woman knows this news of Jesus Christ, knows that Jesus is a Savior, knows he's a Savior for sinners, but somehow feels like she's disqualified from that group that he can save. I'm beyond hope. Have you ever met anybody like that? There are people that think, "I'm beyond hope. That Savior isn't for me. He can't save me. I've done, no, you don't understand. I'm worse than any other sinner in the world." And that person is distressed. Somehow they don't qualify. But notice, that's why the angel says it in these ways to the shepherds. "Unto you, a Savior has been born." Think about that today for yourself. You may feel like a failure. May know you're a sinner. May know you're shame. May know you don't succeed in anything you do. You have to hear these words today and say, hear God say, "Unto you is born a Savior today." You. I don't care who you are. You don't have to prove yourself to him. He came for sinners. That's what gives it great joy. It should give us great joy, right? He told these shepherds, "You know, I've rescued you from your sin, your shame, your weakness, whatever it is. I've overcome it. I've sent a Savior to you. A Savior has been born." I would say that's the first thing that has to happen for us as Christians to really have the desire to tell people about Jesus even when we may get hit. The thing that's going to give you and me the desire to push forward in those circumstances and situations is a true depth, in-depth grasp of this fact that Jesus is a great Savior. He has done amazing things. Oh, he's a great Savior. I want to tell you about this Savior. He can take away anything. What are the issues? What are the things you struggle with? What's in your record? What's your struggle? He can save. You need to have that drilled into your mind, and we really need to process that and digest it as Christians in order to walk into a situation where we know we may get hit. We have to understand this salvation, this Savior is for us. You know, I know I've read a Christian evangelist. He's an author and evangelist named Rico Tice. Some of you may have heard his word. He was at All Souls Church in England. He was an assistant pastor there. For a time, a long time, with John Stott. But he tells the story of his conversion and what happened. when he was a 16-year-old, his uncle died. He fell off a cliff, fell in an accident. And Rico said that he had no answer for death at that point, at 16-year-old. He was from a non-Christian family. So to hear this teacher that he had tell him about Jesus Christ who went through death and could bring Rico through death as well was a great relief to him as a 16-year-old to realize, wow, Jesus went through death and he came through and rose again and he can bring me through death. It answered death's question for him. It was profound. He started to love this Jesus and trust him and know him. And he said he knew Christ's love and it changed everything. Christ's love was so different from the world, he said, because he lived in a school that was based on success and achievement. He said everything about the DNA in the school was earning approval. And the whole ethos of the school was this: we'll love you if you prove yourself, if you're good enough, if you succeed. And the problem was, Rico wasn't good enough, and he knew it, because he was a kid, he was dyslexic, and he didn't even learn to read until he was 9 years old. And in that environment, he knew what it meant to succeed and prove yourself, that he did none of that. So he said, you can imagine how joyful I was when I learned that this good news of the gospel said, you know what, you don't have to prove yourself to God. He sent a Savior. Are you good enough? No, that's the point. Jesus didn't come for the good. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. If you're sick, you qualify. If you don't make it in this world and you're not the success, that's why he came. Do you need to succeed? No, Jesus already has. It's the whole message of the gospel. He said it gave him great joy as a kid in school. And you know that too. I know you do. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've truly tasted this gospel. You know what that's like to meet this Savior and say, oh, Lord, for me, you really came to save me. Lord Jesus, you are good. We need to discover that good news and have it sink into our hearts with depth to give us this desire to walk into a situation and talk about this Jesus, even when we know we'll get hit. You don't have to prove yourself with Jesus Christ. You're not good enough, and that's the point. You don't need to succeed because he already succeeded for you. Let that good news sink into your heart this Christmas. Feed on it before you go into that family event. You know, there's a great quote by Rico Tice that I put in your worship guide at the beginning, on the front page there. Notice what he says. If we're to share Christ, we need first to love Christ. I mean, it's really as simple as that, right? You talk about the things you love. We all do, right? If you love sports, you're going to talk about sports. If you love your grandkids, you're going to talk about your grandkids. If you love science, you're going to talk about science. If you love Jesus, you're going to talk about Jesus, even if it means getting hit. So first, this good news of Jesus is for us, for you. Remember that today. Remember that this Christmas. Second thing we notice here is this good news of Jesus Christ is for others. This is another thing that causes us to be willing to walk into a situation where we may get hit to talk about Jesus. And we see that in verse 10, right? Notice, look again what this angel said to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Notice it's not just them, it is for them in verse 11, but it's for all the people. And we notice a few verses later in chapter 2 that that means all the people, meaning Jew and Gentile. Because we see in Simeon's prophecy in verse 32, he said this: this Jesus Christ who was born is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Notice that? So Gentiles is the Bible's word for a non-Jew. Any non-Jew. Doesn't matter where you're from, what nation you're from, people you're from. Doesn't matter. A Gentile is a non-Jew. Jewish person, a Babylonian, a Canaanite, a Hittite at that time. Today it would be like saying a person from China or India or Bangladesh or Iraq or Turkey or Nigeria, Germany, Brazil, United States, anybody that's a non-Jew. And so what the angel's saying here to these shepherds is, this is good news, not only for you, but for all the people, everyone. This is good news for the world, the whole earth. Matter of fact, and this is what it says other parts of the Bible, right? He's the savior of the world. What does that mean? He's the world's savior. There's only one. He's it. And he's for the whole world. Every person needs this Savior. So what that means for us, again, as Christ people, every person around you, even at the Christmas dinner table or in your school or in your workplace or in your neighborhood, or every person you rub shoulders with in the world today is a person to whom God has sent this good news. And he's sending it through you. All the people in your workplace, all the people in your school, all the people you work with and play with, all the people at your family gathering, all those people are the ones, the recipients of this good news. And you're a messenger of that good news. And that's certainly how the shepherds saw things we just read a little bit ago, right? What did they do? They went into town to see this thing, and we're told this later in chapter 2. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. No, they told everybody about this. Everybody in sight, everybody they ran into, they told about this Savior who was born. You know what? This angel told us he's the Savior. They made it known because it wasn't good news just for them. It was for the world, for all people. It was good news for all the people in that town and every town in the area and the world. But if you're like me, you may be sitting here thinking, what about, back to the family Christmas dinner table. What if I've already told my family members the good news and they don't want to hear it? Many of you may be walking into situations like that. You got, like I said earlier, a family history, right? Don't talk about religion. You know, you ever heard that? Don't talk about Jesus. Or even if it's not so spoken, it's definitely implied. So what about situations like that? Maybe you've had it not go so well. How does it help you to know this good news is for all people? I would say the bottom line is that knowing this is still good news and it's for all people causes you and me to keep praying and keep trying. Why do we keep praying? Because we know it's still good news. And even though they may not receive it as good news, we know it is good news, and we pray for their hearts that people around us would hear the good news and believe it. And we still try. We desperately want our loved ones to hear. You don't want this person to hear simply so you can win the argument. You don't want the person around the dinner table to hear simply so that you can be right or shown to be right. You want the person to hear because you want them to know the love of God. So you still try because you know it's good news. But you do it in a different way, right? Sometimes you have to listen more and find out what's deeper behind the issues. And that's still hard, but that's why we pray. We still try. Because the bottom line is, you and I know what the devil really wants is for us to stop trying, right? The best way he can keep a person from Jesus Christ and the kingdom is to shut everybody up around him. The devil would love nothing more than for us to just be quiet, just let it alone, let it stay. And there's a danger for that for us because our comfort can sometimes drive us to acquiesce to that and do what the devil wants us to do and be quiet. We want comfort more than we want the good of others. And that's a danger for us, right? I had a Christian once tell me his experience in his family and tell me this may be similar to yours. Something happened to him that he regretted, and it happened during at the time of his grandmother's death. This young man and his brother were the only Christians in their family, and his grandmother died absolutely convinced that she would be accepted by God because she was a good person. She died without Jesus Christ. And this young man looks back at that time with great regret. You know why? Because he later said, in the week before my grandmother died, I did not speak to her about Jesus. I loved her, but I didn't say anything to her. I let her go. And when he thought about it later of why, he realized it was because he was afraid of what she and the family members would say. It was inappropriate or unhelpful. And he later said this, he wrote this, I loved my grandmother, and she loved me. But the hard truth is that I loved myself more than her. I wanted my family to think well of me more than I wanted her to think of Christ as her Savior. I loved myself more than I loved her and more than I loved the Lord. That's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? I've felt that. I've done it. You know what that, you may know what that feels like, right? Our own comfort trumps the good of others. We want our own reputation to stay the way it is in a family. We don't want to have relationships disrupted, and that can be difficult. You may have experienced the same, and so what we do is we end up saying, I'm not going to speak. I don't want to risk it. I can't do that. And so we stop trying. That's where we need to go back and see. God tells us this is good news for all people. They may not receive it, and that may hurt too, right? There's just no way not to be hurt. I'm either going to hurt in regret, or I'm going to be hurt when the person rejects it. And the person may think you're a fool. They may think you're naive. The person may laugh and mock. You'll be a sheep among wolves. But you go back and say, but this is good news. It's good news. It really is good news, and I want them to hear. You know, and this is the funny thing, isn't it? We will always say, you know, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but. Have you ever started any conversation with someone that I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but. Nobody wants to be the bearer of bad news, but do you realize as a follower of Christ, you're not the bearer of bad news, you're the bearer of good news? Now, let me qualify that. I know what many of you are thinking, the thought bubble. Yes, the good news has some bad news in it, right? You've got to start with sin. You've got to deal with sin, repentance. There's bad news tied into the good news of the gospel. And yes, there's some bad news, bad results sometimes where people don't accept the good news. But the overall tone and message is good news. And you and I get to be bearers of good news. Ultimately, that's what it is. And if it's not good news, then you better question like what your message is. Because our message is ultimately, yes, sin, yes, repentance, because there's good news. A Savior has been born. Again, no one likes to be a bearer of bad news. We always like to be good bearers of good news. Every manager hates to go into that meeting with a valued employee to say, you know what, I hate to tell you this, but we've got to lay you off. But every manager loves to go into that meeting with a valued employee and say, guess what, you're getting a raise. Every doctor hates to walk into that waiting room and tell the family members your loved one died. Every doctor loves to go into that waiting room and tell them, guess what? We got it out and it's no cancer. We like to be bearers of good news, and you know what? God gives us that. In this message, it's a message of good news. We are, as God's people, bearers of good news. It's a great blessing and privilege as God's people that we have to be bearers of good news. God sent his Son into the world and gave the message of good news for you and for others. You don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to prove what a good person you are, because Christ didn't come for good people. He came for bad people, to make them whole and rescue them. We need that kind of a Savior, and He's a Savior that God has sent. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the good news. Lord, help us, we pray, to be messengers who truly love You and love this good news. Use us. Use us, we pray, this Christmas in our families. Use us in our workplaces. Use us in our schools to be bearers of good news. And we thank You for letting us be part of this proclamation to the world. Lord God, You are good. You have been good, and You always will be. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.